Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
Good evening. In Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, this one verse gives us the answer to so many of mankind's questions throughout history. Where did all this come from? Why are we here? And what is our purpose in life? Now, this verse doesn't give an explicit answer to each of these questions, but it does tell us where to look for the answer, towards the one who made everything. Now, let's fast forward to the sixth day of creation, and we can find the answer to the question of why we're here and what our purpose is in life. Simply put, man was made by God to serve God. Tonight we're going to talk about faith and how it relates to our lives in the modern world in service to God. This is a two-part lesson. First, I'm going to discuss some of the ways that people have their faith misguided off the path that God has presented in His Word. Then James is going to present a concrete example of true faith and how we as Christians can have a faith that's pleasing to God. So before we can actually talk about faith, we need to define what it is. In Hebrews 11:1, it tells us, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Now this is perhaps the most often quoted verse in regards to faith. However, many times this verse is misused to represent faith as something more like feeling that something's true when there's no real evidence to support it. This is simply not the case. True faith in God is not based on simply a feeling. Rather, it's based on the evidence that we can see in the world around us and the truths that are defined in His Word. Now, when man was created by God, He instilled Adam with many characteristics that are common to all human beings. Among these are free will and the need to believe in something that's greater than ourselves. This is why every society throughout history has had some form of religion or creed that dictated how they live their lives. Humans have an inherent need to have a faith in something. And that's as true today as it was hundreds of years ago. In Ecclesiastes 1:9-10, it says, "That which has been is what will be, and that which has been done is what will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of one which might say, 'See this, it is new'? Already it has existed for ages which were before us." So today we face the same question that everyone who's come before us and everyone who will come after us has faced. What are we going to put our faith in? This is the most important question that you will ever answer in your life. Because the truth of the matter is, unless you're putting your faith in the God of the Bible, then you're putting your faith into something else. And it doesn't matter how solid or sustainable that thing may be, it's simply a pretty veneer covering up eternal separation from God. So there are three groups of people that I'd like to discuss with misguided faith. Those who put their faith in false gods, those who put their faith in man's understanding, and those who have an incorrect understanding of what true faith in the one true God is. So the first group I'd like to talk about are those who put their faith in false gods. Ever since the Ten Commandments, God has warned us not to put any god before Him. However, throughout history, men have created gods to support whatever desires or feelings that they had at the time. They created gods to explain natural occurrences, as good luck charms, or even just to give authority to their own desires and ideas. Even today, people follow false religions. Some of the most popular religions today are Hinduism, Buddhism, Sikhism, and the Baha'i Faith. Now, in Huntsville, Alabama, we generally don't think of false religion as being a threat to our faith. But the truth of the matter is that it's something that we need to discuss and keep in our minds. As we have people travel around the world or go off to college, the chances of being surrounded by people who have different faiths is greatly increased. Furthermore, as our nation becomes and world becomes more connected together, things that may have seemed strange or taboo 10 years ago are becoming more and more commonplace. In 1 Peter 5:8, it states, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Unless we prepare our defenses against all temptations, we leave an opening for the devil to enter and a weakness for him to exploit. So the second group I'd like to talk about are those who lean on man's understanding. In Judges 21:25, it says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." At this point, there was not a king to be the moral guide for Israel. So in any situation, men would just decide what they felt was right. Today, we have many people in the same situation who do not use God as their moral guide. So any given circumstance, it's just whatever they feel they should do that they do. This is extremely dangerous because man's understanding and wisdom is not adequate in determining how to proceed in a righteous manner. A few years ago, the theme for Lifestyle Leaders was Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." That year, my speech focused on the moral state of our nation and primarily in response to gun violence, which, as you all know, is still an issue today. After LADS, I had the opportunity to participate in a speech competition for a scholarship. The prompt for the competition was, if you could speak directly to President Obama about blank, what would you say? Well, one of the options was gun violence, so I was able to use my speech that I wrote for LADS for this competition. The first level of the competition involved me giving my speech in front of a panel of judges who then would critique my speech and give me suggestions on how to make it better. After I finished my speech, the response was something like this. "Well, you know, that's good and all, but don't you think you should add some lines in there about maybe smaller clip sizes? Or maybe we should add some stuff in there about intensifying background checks? Because, you know, that's the stuff that's going to make a real big difference." Even though my entire speech was about leaning on God's solutions rather than following man's solutions, the judges were unable to take themselves out of the equations and put aside what their opinions of the solutions for America were. Modern intellectuals have a problem seeing solutions beyond the realm of science and human understanding. And it's this short-sightedness that has led us to our current state. Science in and of itself is not a wrong thing. That's very important to remember. In its purest form, science is simply trying to understand the laws that God has put before us when he created the world. When applied correctly, science allows us to use the tools that God gave us to accomplish amazing things, like airplanes, space travel, and even medical advances that make things that used to mean certain death only minor annoyances now. The problem that many people run into and stumble on is the misappropriation of the credit for the discoveries. See, as Christians, before we do anything in life, we pray to God and ask for his guidance. And then whatever happens, whether it's what we wanted or something else, we thank God for the blessings that he's given us. Now, those who are not Christians don't see the blessings in their lives as gifts from God. Instead, they see the blessings in their lives as results of their own accomplishments. We're warned about this in Proverbs 6:18. "Pride goes before the fall and destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Furthermore, in Galatians 6:3, it states, "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." It's important for us to remember as humans that anything that we can accomplish has no significance when compared to what God has done. In 1 Corinthians 1:25, it says, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." It only makes sense for us to put our faith in something that's greater than us. And what in all creation is greater than the God who spoke it into existence? The final misuse of faith comes from those who have a misguided understanding of what faith in the Bible is. Christianity, in a wide sense, is the most practiced religion in the world. However, among that number, relatively few actually follow what the Bible says. Even though they may have arguments that support their ideas using the Bible, it really boils down to what they feel like their faith should be about. This is a serious issue for the church, because it's perhaps the issue that we are most susceptible to. As we read in James 1:14, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire." The first reason that this is such a dangerous issue is because it's based on want, which is a powerful motivator. The Bible further warns us of this possibility in 2 Timothy 4:3-5. "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. As we're striving to protect our faith, we have to daily be on the lookout for our own desires. Because if we allow our own desires to cloud our judgment, we're going to start to veer off the path that God has presented for us. The second reason that this issue is so dangerous is because it's easy to justify your actions in your own mind. When people say, well, God supports what I'm doing, it comforts them and it makes them feel like what they're doing has authority and credibility. It's important to remember that just because you say God endorses something doesn't mean he actually does. It's a sad fact that there are many people who think that they're following God's will and living in Christ who are actually living in sin. In 1 Samuel 4, we read that the Israelites have just been defeated by the Philistines and are about to go into battle again. When they're sitting in camp trying to figure out why they lost that battle, they come up with the idea that the reason that they lost was because they didn't have the Ark of the Covenant. And so they call for the Ark of the Covenant to come in, and we read in 1 Samuel 4, 5, as soon as the Ark of the Covenant came into the camp, all of Israel gave a mighty shout so that the earth resounded. So as soon as the covenant came in, everybody was bolstered. Everybody thought, well, we're surely going to win this battle now. But let's see what happens later on in the chapter. In verse 10 it says, so the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and they fled, every man to his home, and there was a very great slaughter, for 30,000 foot soldiers of Israel fell. It's important to look here and understand that even though Israel was comforted by their religious symbol, their hearts weren't right. And because they didn't fix the actual issue, sin, they were defeated in battle. Jesus addressed this issue in Matthew 7, 22 through 23 by saying, on that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. As Christians striving to get to heaven, it's crucial that we take ourselves out of the equation and take a serious look at what we're doing to see if we are following the faith presented in the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians 13, 5, it commands us to examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. Unless we're taking a sober look at our actions on a daily basis, we're in danger of being outside of Christ. Faith is the clay that forms all the different aspects of our Christian walk. Unless we have a proper faith in God, it is impossible to do his will. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So as we transition with the song into James's lesson, keep in mind how important it is to have a godly faith in the forefront of our lives.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to WBS@westhuntsville.org.